Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, faith, our way of life. Once again, faith, our way of life. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse number 7. And it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now we are, by the word of God, instructed that we should live our lives by faith and not by sight, or the things that are perceived by our senses. That word walk in this scripture simply means to live. So it's to say we shall live by faith and not by sight. And sight are the things that are perceived by our senses. Now please go to the book of Habakkuk chapter 4. Habakkuk chapter 4. And let's confirm this. Habakkuk 4 verse 2. And it says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just, or those that be declared righteous, shall live by faith. So we are to live by faith. Now please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing, according to the word, is how faith comes. It is our conduit to faith. Amen. Now finally, Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So it is faith that pleases God. And we have to understand the principles of God and how to live by faith within those principles. Now, we understand that it takes time for your faith to grow. We are all given the same amount of faith or the same quantities of faith. God has not given anyone more faith than the other. Your faith will produce results. Let me repeat that. Your faith will produce results. Over time, your faith will produce results. But what happens, people get caught up in the euphoria of all of the expectations of what faith can produce, and yet they still do not understand. See, people make an attempt to exercise faith. I say they make an attempt to exercise faith. When they don't see the immediate results, they give up. But you have to stay with it. Do not give up. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Faith is like a marriage. You cannot judge the validity of a marriage on your first 4 or 5 years. And that is where many people lose the whole thing. Dr. Michelle and I, we dated for 5 years before we got married. 5 years. And we still didn't know each other. We got to know each other as we got married and as we stayed married these years. It takes time to grow together. You are just getting to know the person after 5 years. Don't throw your hands up and give in because you have a few encounters that are not pleasant. That is exactly the plan of Satan, is for you to give up. You got to remember, anything of value takes time to fully develop. And so it is with the principles of faith that it is done. It produces results over time. I said it reproduces results over time. Go with me to the book of Isaiah 55. The book of Isaiah 55. And we're going to read verse number 11. And it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Or that word void simply means empty or unfruitful. So it says, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things for which I have sent it. Amen. So God is telling us, hey, his word is going to do exactly what it says. Amen. God says his word will accomplish what he pleases, and it shall prosper in the things for which he sent it. So patience is needed for your faith to mature from faith to faith. Amen. Now remember, we said you have to start somewhere, and that somewhere is believing. Because believing is what's going to put you into a position to act. But if all you do is believe, even though you believe or what you believe is absolutely true, it would never change your circumstances. Believing is where you begin, but you have to do something in order to change your circumstances. So go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at a situation in scripture that I believe they can kind of show us some validity of this statement. Believing is where you begin. So Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 22 through 29. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Remember, faith is acting on what you believe. So I want you to remember that. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. So we see Jesus was coming to the disciples and he was walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if. Now, let me stop here and pause for a second. Peter said, Lord, if. Now, that word if is a question of unbelief. He says, if it is you. So he wasn't really sure if that was Jesus. He says, if that is you. He says, Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So Peter did what? Peter acted, did he not? Because he came out of the boat. The other disciples that were in the boat with him, they didn't push him. They didn't force him out of the boat. He went voluntarily out of the boat, and Peter acted on his own accord, did he not? That was action. So he must have believed what Jesus said was true when he says, come, and he walked on the water. Peter not only believed it, but he acted, did he not? Now, Peter walked on the water. Now, he is the only man other than Jesus that we have a record of them walking on the water. Peter walked on the water, acting on what he believed. He believed Jesus when Jesus says, come. And when Jesus says, come, he meant exactly that, to come. Now, we just read in Isaiah 55:11. Now, pay attention. He says, 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth, that the word was that come, that came out of his mouth, shows action. So when Jesus says, come, that means come. Then the scripture goes on to say, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. So in other words, when Jesus told Peter to come, that was confirmation for Peter to walk on the water. See, God's promises and commands are entirely trustworthy and effective. Just as rain waters the earth to make it flourish, when God speaks, his word carries the power to bring about exactly what he intended, never failing or returning empty. When Jesus told Peter to come, that word in this verse emphasizes the absolute power of the divine. Amen. It shall not return to me void. That's what the scripture says. It says, it shall not return to me void. The word void translates to empty, fruitless, or without results. But God is assuring Peter that his declaration does not fall flat nor fail to materialize. And it didn't in this case, because Peter walked on the water. Peter acted on what he believed at that time. And when God told him to come, well, that was the absolute power of the divine giving Peter the authority to walk on the water. It did not return back to Jesus void. Now, Matthew 14, we're going to read verses 30 through 32. Now, let's continue with this. It says, but when he, Peter, saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop here and look at this scripture for a minute before we continue. It says, but when he, Peter, saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Now, my question, as I was reading this, studying this, I was saying to myself, wait a minute. Peter had to see the wind before he even stepped out of the boat. So what is he talking about when he saw the wind was boisterous? He had to know it was boisterous before he even got out of the boat. But yet he still stepped out and he walked. Amen. He believed what Jesus said when he says, come. Jesus says, my word will not return to me void. So when he said, come, Peter stepped out. He didn't care about the wind being boisterous. But all of a sudden, he's looking at the wind. Now let's go to verse 31. He said, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? He says, why did you doubt? O you of little faith. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now let's look at this, because I find this situation quite amazing. The Bible tells us that when Peter saw, now, the word saw, S-A-W, has to do with the sense world, the things that we can see, feel, hear, taste, and feel, the sense realm. Now, we read one of our foundational scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, or the things which are perceived by our senses. But Peter got out there on the water. He was walking on the water by his little faith, but then he saw. Then he saw. Let's stop for a minute there. Let's hold that. Remember, then he saw. See, the circumstances will always attempt to bring fear and doubt. If you look at the circumstances, they will bring fear. If you look at the word of God, you will be more than a conqueror. Understand, we do not deny the circumstances. The wind was blowing and was boisterous. There is no denying that. But notice, that same boisterous wind was blowing on Jesus also, yet he was walking on the water. So what was the issue with Peter? If the master was walking in the wind, and he told Peter to come, and he had the power, the absolute power of the divine, what was he afraid of? He had the absolute power of the divine. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. See, if you look at the circumstances, you will sink. As long as you keep your eyes on the circumstances and off the Word of God, you will sink. See, many Christians are failing because they fail to remain diligent to the Word of God. See, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine. But soon he started looking at the circumstances, he began to sink. You cannot look at the circumstances, and I would say it again and again. You do not deny the existence, but you deny them the authority to dictate the circumstances and issues of your life. That is the difference. Amen. That is the difference. Now go to Matthew chapter 14. You're there already. We're going to read verses 30 and 31. Okay, let's begin with verse number 30, and let's finish this up. 30, and we're going to read the second part of the verse. It says, "And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and called him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Now, notice what Jesus said to Peter, because I believe it's worth investigating and looking at a little bit closely. He says, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, Peter was able to walk on water with a little faith, because the scripture says he stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. At that particular time, his faith caused a miracle to be acted in his, or to take place in Peter's life. And a miracle is just a temporary suspension of the laws of nature. He walked on the water. That's a temporary suspension of the laws of nature. So his faith, that little faith Peter had, caused him to walk on the water. What could he have done if he had great faith? Amen. Well, he probably could have flown out there and caught up with Jesus. He could have probably flown. He could have been the first man to fly. And the Wright brothers would have had to come up with something else. Amen. That shows us the authority of your faith. If you could walk on water with a little faith, what could you do with great faith? Amen. That's why it's important to understand faith, because of the authority you have been given. Amen. Jesus already told us the works that he does, we will do even greater because he goes to the Father. Amen. We can do greater works. See, Peter doubted because he took his eyes and his attention off the Word of God and began to look at the circumstances. And that is the issue with most Christians. They began looking at the circumstances, and every time you do that, you are going down. You are going to begin to sink. Your life is going to sink. Your marriage is going to sink. Your job, your business, your profession is going to sink. Your finances are going to sink. Now, we do not deny what we see or the circumstances. We just deny the circumstances to have authority to tell us how to act and how to respond to the circumstances and the issues of life. Amen. That is why it's so important for you to know what you can have and what the Word of God provides for you. And you can know the Word of God and see, and you can have the Word of God, and you can have the will of God and still sink. Why do you doubt the Word? Faith is acting on what you believe. Amen. Faith is acting on what you believe. And that's so important. Understand, even though you act on it, that action can still be affected by the circumstances if you allow them. Amen. Let me repeat that. Understand, even though you act on it, That action can still be affected by circumstances if you allow them. See, Satan cannot do anything to you unless you allow him to do it, because we have overcome them by the good fight of faith. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 18. And it says this: while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, Paul tells us to deny their existence. He did not say they do not exist. He simply says, do not look at them. Do not let them dictate the terms of your existence. Let God's word be your authority. Go to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. And it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And my final scripture, Psalms 23:1. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well then, I'm out of time, but join us next week as we continue our teaching on faith, our way of life. Until then, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.